Hi, this is Jeff Perry from St. Louis Family Church, and I am really glad this message has found you. You know, I believe that God gives us each day our daily bread, that He really cares about us, and He has attention to detail, the detail of your life and what really matters and what counts right now. You know, I believe that as you listen to this message, the Holy Spirit will illuminate something, some truth from the Word of God, something that causes you to draw closer to Jesus, and then in that, finding and discovering all the plan and purpose that He has for you. I want to encourage you as you listen to this message to let the Lord minister to you because He has something great for you today. God bless you as you hear His word. Hey, I want you to get your Bibles and turn to some verses. God's called us to walk the walk. The Bible says that we're to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. It says that we're to walk humbly with our God. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. It says in 1 John 2:6, to walk in the same manner as He walked. In Colossians 2:6, it says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. And I want to talk to you today about a real vibrant place in our spiritual calling, which is to walk in the Spirit. You know, we're to walk as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. And the Bible says that we're born of the Spirit, and we should live by the Spirit. God is a Spirit. The Bible says that we're created in His image, and we are actually spirit, soul, and body. As there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are three-part beings. The Scripture says that the Word of God is the only thing that can differentiate between spirit, soul, and body. It says that in 1 Thessalonians that He would sanctify us wholly, spirit, soul, and body. So we know that we are spirits, that we have souls, and that we live in a body. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit. God is a spirit. We also know God is love. And last week I talked to you about walking in love. And it talks about all through the Scriptures. Ephesians 4:1 says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And then it goes on to define it in humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. Last week, I spent a lot of time talking about walking in love, that God is love, that love never fails. Love is patient and kind. Love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. That it's the golden cornerstone of Christian civilization. The love walk is something that is not easy, but it's absolutely our requirement and our calling. He said the bottom line is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. I heard an old seasoned Christian say, I don't have a problem with God, it's people I have a challenge with. And God's called us to, He throws us in together, and He insists that we work it out. If this is a training ground, it's a germination ground for the seed of world impact and global influence. God is actually calling us to not just theorize about it, but really take action. So He tells us how we're to conduct ourselves in this life. And He tells us to walk in a certain way. He says that we're to be followers of Him and we're to walk and imitate Him. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love and forgive, even as God in Christ has forgiven us. How many of you have ever had an opportunity to forgive someone? Let me see your hands. In your life, at least once. Okay. How many of you have ever had a situation where you had to ask forgiveness? Let me see your hands in the last 10 minutes. Okay. It's just a biblical imperative. And in fact, it says, you know, the world is nice to people that are nice to them and easygoing with people that are easygoing. But the real manifestation of kingdom life is how we conduct ourselves in unpleasant situations. And the Bible says it's inevitable that they will come, you know, near and far. We just have to deal with the issues of life. The way we can understand the beauty of this is that we actually, in Christ, when we become a new creation and we become reborn spiritually, that part of the byproduct of having the presence of Jesus in our lives is that our nature has been impacted to the point where we actually have the ability to love the unlovable. We actually have love. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit, this is in Galatians chapter 5, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that we actually have, According to Romans 5:5, the love of God shed abroad or poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is easy when people are real sweet. This is another matter, though, when things get weird. But yet we know, just out of principle, that God wants us to walk in the light with one another. And in Romans chapter 12, toward the end of the chapter, it says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So we know we can't repent for other people. We, in fact, realistically can't expect, even when we try to humble ourselves and deal with things with other people, they may still misunderstand us. And that sometimes there are not win-win situations always. Let's be realistic about this. But we need to do our level best. We can't change other people, but we can definitely change ourselves by yielding to, trusting in, and relying on God. That doesn't mean we need to over-repent and apologize for things that we weren't guilty of. You know, we take ownership on what we need to take ownership on, but we leave the rest, we just put it on the altar and trust God. Now, we talked a lot about this, and I want to go into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 just to bring some clarification here about this, and then we're going to move on to walking in the Spirit. And we're going to spend some time talking about walking in the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, walking in sensitivity to the Spirit, developing our human spirit where we're more sensitive to God and we're led by the Spirit. I'm not talking about flakiness or spookiness or mysticism. I'm talking about my sheep know my voice and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. I'm going to talk about the inward witness, and I'm going to talk about impressions in your spirit. We're not to be led by signs. We don't need a bunch of outward confirmations. That can become tricky. There's a whole higher and better way to walk, where you could be led by the Spirit and make wise decisions. Jesus said He would send the Holy Spirit to us. He'd lead us into all the truth that the Holy Spirit takes from Jesus and reveals it to us. And Jesus is the embodiment of every bit of wisdom. We have the mind of Christ, which means there is something so powerful given to us in the new birth. We have forgiveness of our sins. We've been transformed from the inside. And then God's called us to be change agents. And He's called us to walk in the Spirit. We know we're to walk humbly with God. We're to walk in love. We're to walk circumspectly. We're to walk in wisdom toward outsiders. We're to walk in the Spirit. But right here, I want to show you this love walk thing in the Thessalonian church. I love the Thessalonian church as a pastor because I'm seeing a pattern of effectiveness that I want to see out of Chesterfield Valley, out of our church. I see a particular time zone and a group of men and women and kids that got it, where they were learning how to live, and they were, the Bible says the word was going forth mightily from them. They were moving in a work of faith, a labor of love, and steadfastness of hope. The word of the Lord was sounding forth from them, not just in their town, but also in Macedonia and Achaia. So the Holy Spirit had been poured out on these people, and they were following the call of Jesus to make a difference in the world. And as a result, these guys were nailing it. They weren't just touching their community. They were also reaching their region and even the uttermost parts of the world. And I think that that is a possibility for every gathering. Every life-giving church has this potential. But the ingredients that were in this church, it was different than the church in Galatia or Corinthians. Corinthians were in a bunch of rivalry and strife and who was who. And then the Galatian church, they got caught up in legalism and distraction and things like that. But this church was nailing it. They were moving in love. In fact, it says here in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, finally, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord, Jesus, that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. Excel still more. Here's what he's saying. You guys are doing it, but keep pressing on. I'm aware of this, having been in ministry now for half my life. I'm moving into my 26th year of full-time ministry in life and God. I'm 50 years old, as you guys have painfully become aware of. And I've noticed some things as I'm growing as a person. And it did me a lot of good to be around the young people last night because they're in that hope-filled anticipation. They haven't hit as many knocks. And frankly, I enjoy their zeal and their enthusiasm, their kind of bounding energy, you know. But equally, I know that I'm carrying something in of experience and so forth and, you know, the silver wisdom and all that kind of stuff. It inspires me not to stagnate or slow down. I read a story about a place in the Alps that has built a pathway up a mountain that takes 8 hours to get from the bottom to the top. And that these companies sign up and pay a fee to the guide, and they'll go there and they'll get them set up with their provisions with water and so forth and snacks. And they'll walk for 4 hours, and their goal is to get to this beautiful alpine wooded kind of a thing with, you know, they get their hot chocolate and their coffee and their beautiful European lunches, you know. And they say that every time a group goes through, 50% of them check out halfway up. And it's not because they're that tired. It's not because it wore them down, because all you need is just the ability to walk. It's not like a big technical climb. It's actually a paved path. But what it does is it's designed to help teams to get together and have camaraderie, be on the same goal, same path, you know, working in a purpose. And it does something for them in business, nurtures their managing and their strategy, and brings connectedness to a team of workers. But sadly, half of them check out. And it's not because they're tired and wiped out and physically drained. It's because they're satisfied. They're done. They're content. They had a lunch. They had a coffee. They want to go home. And see, this is the enemy that this church plowed past. This is where he says to these individuals, you guys, you've done great. You've taken on the doctrine. You've taken on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've turned from your sin. Says you've learned how you ought to walk and please God as we've given you instruction, as we're called to do, and you actually do walk that way. But then he says, but excel still more. And I hear that voice at the lodge halfway up the mountain. I heard that last night when I was with these young people. Now, don't ease up. Don't get in this contentment. Don't rest on any laurels. The best is yet to come. And this is the inspiration and the importance that I feel the Lord is downloading in our church and in us as individuals and me as your pastor. I am feeling responsible in God not to succumb to the temptation that I think might be inherent when you've gone this long to just sort of ease up off the pedal a little bit. I think we need to press on. Have you ever heard me say that in here? I know it, man. It's just a big cornerstone of the doctrine of this church. And I believe that God's inspired me to keep beating that drum because he wants us to get to the top of this mountain. Right. And I'm not sure exactly what all the details are of the pinnacle, but I know it has to do with maximized fruitfulness on everybody's part. God wants each one of us finely tuned and honed and sharp and sensitive and bearing fruit. In fact, the Bible says this. How many of you want to see God glorified in the earth? And this is my Father glorified. You know, we want to honor him. Here's how he's glorified, and that we bear much fruit and that our fruit remains. As I hear these little kids, man, I'm so thrilled when I hear a squeaking kid. I know the parents are trying to put a pacifier in their mouth, but for the purposes of this message, it's an illustration. That's the voice of the future. That's a little bitty, pudgy, little diapered little critter that's very rapidly going to grow up and assume huge leadership responsibility. And is going to take the keys and take the stand. And we're called by God to pave the way. We're part of the continuum of the body of Christ. I relate to these guys as my elder brothers and sisters who over in the Mediterranean took hold of the power and purposes of God and pressed past. These guys might have been halfway up the Alps, but Paul the Apostle, their coach, their tour guide, is saying, you guys, you're doing great. You know how to walk, but excel still more. And I want to say this message to you. Press on. Press up. Shake off the heaviness. Shake off lethargy. Get your expectations up. Believe God. Spend some time in the secret place. Breathe in the rarefied air of heaven. Receive the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Recognize and have association with the Spirit. We know we're to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, but we're also to have fellowship with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. In the next verse, it says, concerning the love of the brethren, you don't really have any need for anybody to teach you because God himself is teaching you how to love one another. God internally is driving us toward the love walk. He insists upon it. If you ever notice, if you and I get bitter or weird or mean, a conviction comes upon us that is sobering. God is our Father, and he does not want us carrying bitterness, resentment. He knows it's a prison. It's a bait. Satan will try to lure us out right out of the anointing. We're singing songs about anointing, which is a biblical term for basically just having empowerment from God, strength of the Holy Spirit to do things beyond our own human power. We're all called to something way beyond our own ability. We're all called by God to the extraordinary and the supernatural. God is called, He is supernatural. And He's called us to walk in a manner worthy of Him. And He is absolutely supernatural. And His kingdom is supernatural. And loving and forgiving enemies is supernatural. Working toward resolve is supernatural. Letting something stay and be bitter for years is normal. It's natural. But God's called us to the extraordinary, and He Himself is in us, propelling us. In fact, He said, you're actually being taught by God to love one another. He said, for indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. Everybody say excel.
Excel.
Early on, I thought, you know, whatever excellence is, I want it. I believe in excellence. I do not believe perfectionism is attainable. I believe perfectionism is a dangerous ism that gets on our lives. In fact, what perfectionism is designed to do is come up alongside us and basically put an unrealistic expectation and heightened ideal in our lives. So we'll just procrastinate and back down and give up before we start. But we can excel. Excel just means just put your pedal to the metal. It means push a little bit farther. It means one more step. I saw some little kids walking on the sidewalk going to the children's church, and they were just jumping like little gazelles. And then I saw a senior gentleman walking, and I said, boy, look at those kids just jumping. He said, I wish I could walk that fast. I said, well, you're putting one foot in front of the other. As far as I could tell, you're just moving. You're just fine. He goes, well, just as long as I could keep up this gait. You know, the fact is he's here, and he's moving forward. The kids were jumping all over the place like little bunny rabbits, but he's just pressing on. I relate to both. It's just the way it is. We're just going to keep pressing on. And you may feel like you're just sort of creaking like the Tin Man without oil, stuck in the rain. But I'm going to pray the oil can of the Holy Spirit accidentally spills all over you, and you just get so lubed that you jump out like a calf from the stall. See, that's what happened to the early church. When they busted out of the upper room, they were lubricated with the anointing oil, and there was no squeak. There was no friction. When the oil, my kids have been cooking with Pam, you know, that spray stuff. They spray it on everything. And I mean, you just nothing sticks. It's just so cool. And I pray that that permeates our church. It happened in the Thessalonians where there's so much of the presence of the love of God. It lubricated their relationships. It caused them. Sure, they had conflict. There were people in there that had personality clashes. I know that. There were people in there where marriages were strained. There were people in there where people were just grating on other people. And they were learning. They weren't just all going, it wasn't just all happy Disneyland's 50th anniversary with Goofy and Dumbo. This was as challenging then as it is now. And somehow they managed, by the power and presence, authentic supernatural grace of God, they were able to walk. They learned how to walk and how to please the Lord. That's exactly what we're doing. We're learning what is pleasing to the Lord. And we know that walking in love is amazing. Because we every day have choices whether we're going to harbor resentment, murmur, or whether we're going to pray for those who despitefully use us and bless those who curse us and do our level best to yield to the Holy Spirit and lean on Him and ask Him to help us to stay free from the bitterness and the hindrances. And you know, I'll tell you something. Patsy and I learned early on the devil's devices. When we would get ready to minister, we saw an uncanny pattern of spiritual attack right before we were being required to step up and minister to any number of people. And we started to realize that it didn't dawn on us at first, but we started to see this is like a pattern. We're being tempted and we're getting under spiritual attack to diminish our effectiveness, to make us feel like hypocrites, and to sort of cheapen down our message. So we had to learn, wait a minute. This is one of the devil's devices. We're going to have to really bridle our tongue and be extra aware of the tactics of the enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to trip us up. Come on. And see, here's what you got to buy into. See, you already know, well, he's speaking publicly in front of people, so he just knows he has this responsibility. Just like a surgeon, he anticipates doing surgery, so he's going to scrub his hands and put on gloves. Well, but see, don't just project it on it. You got to you got to see that you are the ambassador for Christ here. That's what the Thessalonians, it was about the whole body. This is what I love about this church. Is I haven't been down to Katrina in a long time, but we've had hundreds of people down there. I've never been to Sri Lanka, but I feel like I've been building houses over there. I haven't been to Kosovo for 2 years, but I feel like I'm going to that school and I'm in that church and I'm participating in these outreaches where 1,000 Muslim kids will come. People are getting saved by the dozens. People are coming to Jesus. The church is blowing out. It's getting bigger than ever. I think about what God's doing and I think about the people that are praying. I came last night. I came late to the prayer meeting and I saw these kids and I tell you, I'm laying on the stage up here and I'm just thinking, God, I'm just glad I get to be with these kinds of people. I'm so honored to get to walk with God with people like this. I mean, it's not like, I'm your pastor. No, it's like, man, I better hurry up and catch up with you because I'm your leader. That's how I feel. And that's what I think was happening in that church. Paul's going, yeah, I wanted to preach a big rousing message about walking in love, but God's already teaching you to walk in love. You're already doing it, but I just remind you anyway and excel still more. That's what I want for our church for the duration, for the years and years to come. Rather than trying to fix a broken thing, I want to just keep improving on a healthy thing. And that's really what was here. That's really what was here. And as we're in this environment, the Holy Spirit is faithful to correct us and convict us and bring us into repentance. He's the one that comes in and deals with our hearts. And we have this conscience now as Christians where God will work on us and help us to keep our hearts humble and walk humbly with the Lord. But now, as I lay all this framework, I want to finish with a couple of key verses, one out of Galatians chapter 5, the other one out of Romans chapter 8. Now we've built this foundation about walking in love and walking with God and learning how to please the Lord and how you ought to walk. I want to just go into some practicality with Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. This is an exciting proposition I'm about to give to you because God has called us. He is Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Listen up, guys. God is a spirit. Now, we know God is love, and we're to be imitators of Him. God loved the world, and He gave, so we know we're to be givers. God forgave. He forgave us through Jesus Christ, and He calls us to be imitators of Him and forgive, even as God in Christ has forgiven us. Wow. How many of you have been forgiven some pretty major stuff? You were going to hell. I was going to hell. Well, we need to learn how to look at everybody for the remainder of our life on earth and fight through the temptation to develop bitterness. The enemy will work all day and night on your mind and my mind to get us in a bitter pocket. And we got to fight our way out of it. We got to bless those who curse us. We got to get on the offensive. We got to be proactive about it. We got to retaliate, but not with our own natural response. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You know, you pop me in the eye, I'm going to pop you in the ear. You know, that kind of stuff. That's the world, man. We're done with that. Now what do? We go, all right, you going to mess with me? I'm going to pray for you for 45 minutes. We had an old song. You can talk about me, you can talk about me, just as much as you please, just as much as you please. You can talk about me, boom, 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 just as much as you please. You can talk about me just as much as you please. I'll talk about you while I'm on my knees. Don't you love that? It's kind of like we're singing and it's like, that's kind of ornery, but it's good ornery. It's like, you're going to gossip about me? I'm going to talk to my Father about you. You're going to badmouth me? I'm going to good mouth you. God, just bless them. God, I just pray you take a hold of her and I just pray you minister to her. I just pray you bless her. I pray you fill her house with your Spirit. God, I pray you begin to deal with her. God, I pray you bless her. Did you guys notice there's a battle between flesh and spirit? Anybody? Is anybody relating to this so far? Well, we see the Thessalonian church and we see all the halos around them and all the robes and all the mosaics and stuff and all the candles and they're all walking really great. But we're thinking about, what about me, man? I was snarled at the guy on the drive in here and on the highway and then they ended up coming to church and I parked next to him. What do I do now? I understand that. That was me. No, it wasn't. I'm just kidding. No, it wasn't me. Galatians chapter 5. What are we talking about? We're talking about a walk. We're talking about excelling. Now, the Galatians, listen. There's an interesting statement made in this chapter, in this book. He said, you guys were starting great, but who stepped in and tripped you up? Who bewitched you? And then he said, having begun in the spirit, are you going to now be perfected in the flesh? What that meant in that case was you started out as a spiritual rebirth and a birthing of a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now all of a sudden you're going to revert back to trying to fill all kinds of the old laws of the old order and try to live up and try to have a mixture of that. He says, having begun in the spirit, you can't be perfected in the flesh. But now I'm going to take it into another place here in chapter 5, verse 15. Well, verse 16, it says, but if I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. We're talking about walk in the walk. We're talking about walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. We're looking at the pattern of the book of Acts, and we're seeing people that once filled with the Holy Spirit had signs and wonders follow them, had peculiar and extraordinary miracles take place, had the presence of God operate in their lives, and had a supernatural impact in their particular world. Man, I just want to say to you that this is available to us today. This is something, in fact, not only available to us, look at me, God's called us to excel and press into this. God's called us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So that means, that implies we can walk in the flesh or we can walk in the Spirit. Now, the Corinthian church, Paul called them men of the flesh, babes in Christ. And the reason they were men of the flesh was because they got in a rivalry and got in strife. Some say, well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And if you notice in this church where I'm coming from as a pastor of a non-denominational church, you are not going to hear me belittle or disdain any of the body of Christ. And the reason for that is because that is carnal and that is not pleasing to the head of the church. Now, I wasn't born again in a denominational setting, so that's just not my DNA. I got saved during the Jesus movement with a bunch of ex-hippies and the church environment was actually, it was a church of Christ that the pastor had a new birth experience and was filled with the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't denominational. Now, God is moving in a lot of places in the body of Christ all over the place. I was just with a Catholic lady that loves Jesus with all her heart, man. And though we're, you know, the basic essentials of the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus, his deity, the Trinity and so forth, the Word of God being the Word of God, so forth, it's all there. Now, I'm not on the same page with certain aspects of things, and so that's where we don't fellowship on that stuff. Now, there are some people that have gone so far off and added books to the Bible and have taken on another Jesus and things like that, and there's no fellowship there. You know, so there are deal breakers. But I think sometimes we get so weird that we cut off everybody but just our particular flavor. One time I was at the beach and I saw a seagull and a pigeon and a black crow and a sandpiper all within about 18 inches of each other. And it was so cool. They were all standing there, all facing each other up by the shore. The water was coming up, and I was walking along with my sunglasses, listening to my iPod, listening to some Bible, catching up on my Bible reading. Ooh, cheater. Anyway. Hey, there's liberty in Jesus. Don't go getting legalistic on me. Anyway, and I stood there, and I went, whoa, this is like the church of the Lord Jesus Christ right here. You say, well, birds of a feather flock together. I know. But in this case, the crow, and the sandpiper, the seagull, and the pigeon were all just kind of just standing there. It was so cool. I just watched them. They were there, it seemed like, for a long period of time. It was only a few seconds. But they just stood there motionless, and they were all looking at each other. And it's as though they were like, look, man, we just have to relate, all right? I know we're different. Let's just bury our differences. It's probably some bird kind of communication going on. But for the purposes of this message, it was grand. Because the Bible says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love for one another. It got weird in the Corinthian church. And the household of Chloe had to report to Paul. Man, there's all kinds of people are saying, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and all this stuff. And whenever that stuff hits the body of Christ, it's such a disappointment because it brings division. And God's called us to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, there are certain groups I cannot fellowship with, but I still love the people. And we should be kind to people and love people. We shouldn't get so religiously rigid. We get weird toward people. The bottom line is we got to love everybody. But there are sort of rules of engagement. And I think sometimes we draw the lines in such a weird way. I believe in this end time hour, there's going to be a renewed harmony, a sense of responsibility in the church. And listen, you can't manufacture this. I've seen people try to come together and let's have prayer. And I've tried that. And it's just sort of, it's like, you know, filling up a tire that has a big leak in it. But the Holy Spirit, it's the bond of the Spirit. Love is the perfect bond of unity. And I know that if we could continue to press forward, in fact, for me, I just want to take a moment, a side moment, as we talk about walking in the Spirit. I just feel such a catch on making sure we understand walking in love. I mean, when my dad died, one of the pastors of the largest Lutheran church, Missouri Synod in the country, wrote me an amazing card and that brought comfort to me. And I was with a Presbyterian pastor of a renowned church in town here. And just the connection that I sensed God creating there. You guys, listen, we have a history in this church. We started out at United Church of Christ, Ivy Chapel on 141. Then we bumped over to the Salvation Army Chapel. Then we bumped over to Craig Road Baptist. Then we went over to the DeSmet Jesuit High School. Then we went to Bonham Presbyterian, back to the DeSmet, and all kinds of places in between. God is saying something about us as a church culture. And I was raised in church denomination type of thing. And listen, see, here's the thing. People get together and they get ideas and they have, you know, Methodists had a deal and they put it together. It's all good. Everybody say that. It's all good. It is. I mean, it's cool. Now some of you go, it is not good. Tradition of the man. Well, then, okay, keep the vinegar flowing, whatever you want to do. And maybe you got some rubs on a few things. But man, we got to take off those filter glasses. And that where we go, oh, you're, you're in what group? Oh. And then you go in your little list. They believe in this. What we need to do is be craving, looking for our, where the basic essentials of the doctrine of Christ are. The deity of Christ, the authenticity of the Word of God, the fact that He came once, He's coming again. I mean, there's some non-negotiables that when people start veering from it, there are deal breakers. But again, we don't get up hitting people with their purse and stuff. I'm telling you, man. See, I know we go, well, wait, does walking in love mean compromise? Well, I compromise with Patsy on a daily basis. There is a measure of compromise. We don't compromise morals or laws, but there's give and take and flex and flow in our family. As my kids grow up, I'm exerting compromise. I don't do it when they're little bitty. But as they grow, it's like they're coming into independence and I'm trying to, it's like, okay, let's do some, it's a different finesse thing. Well, in the church, I mean, God just called us. I mean, I just pray our church walks in the characteristics like the Thessalonians, where there's so much authentic biblical love pouring out of our lives, out of our love for God, out of our awareness of how much He loves us, and we start loving our neighbor as ourselves, and that we rightly discern the body of Christ. We start to see things better. I know there's some groups that are in apostasy. I know there are groups that don't even believe Jesus is Lord or that half the Bible is true. I know that, and that's tragic. But even with those ultra-liberal secular ideas, I want to try to figure out how to cause change and revival in those groups. So you don't just write them off. You're at the ghetto. I mean, what message is that?
Yeah, well, there is moral right and wrong, and we are
Yeah, but we're proclaimers of good news. Yeah. Now, God doesn't advocate that we just go, everything's fine. If everything's not fine, everything's not fine. If there's a fire, you say fire. But you tell them, this is the way out, and let me bring some water and put it out. Yeah. You understand me? Yeah. You guys with me? Yeah. Come on now. Yeah. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Look at verse 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Listen, guys. John chapter 10 said Jesus is the shepherd. And the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Are you guys still here? Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. This is exciting because this is what God was telling the Thessalonians and telling the Galatians, and He's telling us that as we receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so we walk in Him. There is an activated new creation life on the inside of you and me. He no longer dwells in temples made with hands. He lives inside human hearts. He lives in our spirit. The Bible says when a man joins himself to the Lord, he's one spirit with Him. And so now we're in fellowship with God. We understand that we are a three-part being. Just as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so we human beings are spirit, soul, and body. Some people are dichotomous, some are trichotomous. That's a theological term, which means some people believe there's only an outer man and an inner man, and there's no distinction between soul and spirit, and they've got some scriptures to support that idea. I believe there's spirit, soul, and body, and that there's distinction between the spirit and the soul. They're different words, but also they're different mechanisms in our being. We are a spirit. I've heard it said this way. We have a soul, and we live in a body. Our soul, our mind, our emotions, our will need to be renewed. There's some ornery critters that need to get, they didn't get born again. Neither did your body. Your flesh and my flesh, flesh is goofy. Flesh is just like me yesterday. I found not only vanilla briars, but I found pecan briars. My family tries to hide it. I could find it. I'm sorry. I'm like a bloodhound. I've got all of a sudden an activated ability. There's briars in the house. It's not spiritual. It's the flesh. And I find it. And I get the biggest spoon or fork, in my case fork, and I eat the tenderloin right out of the middle of it, right out of the container. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, if we are all are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And it says in 8 verse 6, it says, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. God has called us out of darkness, and He's called us to walk in the Spirit and have our minds set on the things of the Spirit. We're called to be spiritual people. That's right. Spiritual people are not just religious people with religiosity and human tradition. Spiritual people are not just feigning a bunch of cliches and buzzwords. Spiritual people are in connection with God and are going somewhere and doing some things. When you're spiritual and you're activated, you're born again. I don't mean spiritual like, let's be spiritual or whatever the flavor. No, you got to be saved. And there's salvation in no other but in Jesus Christ. I have no compromise on that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but through Him. But whoever calls on His name shall be saved. And so on the basis of faith in His name, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and then receive that second blessing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you get drenched with power from on high, God starts moving you into a whole different level where you actually have the ability to discern things. You actually have the ability to walk in the Spirit. The Word divides and makes distinction between soul and spirit. There are things I can do on a soulish level. In fact, with changing of the service times, there were a lot of practicalities in my mind about it, but I had to, because of the major decision of it, I had to make sure what God was saying. And I had to find out what the spiritual differentiation was. And that came through prayer, through some fasting, through some word study, and waiting and finding out. You know, I told the story about the time when I'm trying to teach this to my kids. And I was driving Taylor to get ready to go on a hayride in the fall years ago when he was about 5 or 6 years old. And as I was driving to their house, the closer I got to the house, the more strain I sensed in my spirit. So much so that I adjusted my rearview mirror and I was about ready to tell Taylor, I don't think you should go on this hayride. For some reason, there's just something in my spirit. You guys know what I'm talking about? That sort of that snag? I don't mean superstition. I don't mean fear. I wanted him to go have a ball. I mean, there was going to be s'mores. I mean, there weren't any briars, but there's going to be other stuff that's going to be good. Hay and rides and hayride, horses and stuff. So we're driving closer and closer to the house and Taylor says, I don't think I'm supposed to go. I said, really? He said, no, I just don't. He borrowed a phrase from me, heard from his mom and dad, I have a check in my spirit. I said, you know, that's interesting. I do too. And he goes, I hate this stuff. You know what I mean? You can't, because it says you can't do the things you want to do. There are times when I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit's veto power. Now, listen, this ought not get us in some sort of weird, spooky thing of, is that God? Is that? I mean, you know, you could have had too much briars, had indigestion, and it could have been freaking out your system. You know, take too many vitamins and go, I think we're supposed to stay home, you know? But what am I exhorting you into? I'm talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit, and instead of yielding to your flesh, instead of yielding to the impulses of the flesh, we actually now, by the power of the new birth, can walk in the Spirit. Yeah. God's called us to walk in and have sensitivity with the Holy Spirit of God and be sensitive to the Spirit. and be led by the Spirit. That, you know, this is my commitment to you. I believe in God to be led by the Holy Spirit for this church. That's why when the Pensacola Revival or Toronto or Seoul, Korea home groups and all this stuff, I have not traipsed off into go run after whatever the next best thing is. I'm going into the altar to try to find out what God has customized for our church. I've gleaned from those things, and I'm thankful for what God's done there, and I see the authentic touch of God on them, but I know I'm not supposed to be trying to copy or trying to go emulate or try to pick up something, try to get a hold and try to duplicate it. We've got too much of a specific job, a specified job for each one of us in this place. Are you listening to me? You have such a distinct role in the body of Christ. Hear me.
Well, that's flattering. Thank you for saying it.
I'm not trying to flatter you. What are you talking about? You don't need that here. I'm telling you what the Bible says. It's the proper working of each individual part. It's the amazing thing to me. I know why this service is going good today. Because some teenagers were here last night praying. I know that. I know why I have an ease in preaching right now. Because somebody prayed for me. So, well, didn't you pray? Yeah, I prayed. You can't imagine the challenge I come up with sometimes. I'm so thankful when people pray for me that a door will be open for the word. Whoever prayed, thank you. I know why people are getting healed. God's moving in this place. There are radical things going on. That's because it's Jesus working through you. Say, well, what about you, Pastor Jeff? Well, I'm excelling and pressing on. Like never before, I'm hungrier for God. God's helping me to get out of the quicksand and get back up on the high places. He makes my feet like hinds feet, sets me upon my high places too. I want to run to catch up with you guys. And there you sit. You mean I could be led by the Spirit? Yep. You mean I could develop my prayer life and grow in God? Yep. You mean there are answers to my problems? Yep. You mean that I could get in the Word and the Word will get in me and it'll change me? Absolutely. You mean I could pray in the Spirit and get sensitive to the things of God and move up into another level? Yes, I do. Walk in the Spirit. If we, you know, what does it say? If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Is that what it says? See, we've got this calling on us. It's our citizenship. I mean, we're U.S. citizens. We've got passports and so forth because God's called us to go to the nations. What if God calls you to Sri Lanka? Well, I don't have my passport. I can't go. Get your passport. Well, that's why I don't want to get my passport. I don't want to go there. I heard it's 100 degrees. Here they have serpents and spiders the size of Texas. What are you marching me into, bro? The world, the calling, the lost, addressing our world and making a difference. You're anointed by God, man. Shake off the unbelief. Get out of carnality. Guy walked up to me and he said, first day I saw him, he said, that's my first day sober. He was shaking. His first day sober. I said, well, man, I'm nice to meet you. And he said, man, listen, I'm committing. I need help. Okay, you got it. And he's been coming for a long, lots of months. Friday night, he said, man, I'll tell you what, I'm doing better than ever. He said, and then he said, the people in this church, and he started to describe what reinforcement has taken place. I've not counseled with him. I've prayed with him a little bit. I've talked to him a few times. But I just stepped back and watched the church doing its thing and Jesus moving on this guy. Lady with methamphetamine problem. I did a little study on it. They say the first hit of methamphetamine and it alters your brain chemistry. It's such a euphoria that when it changes, your system is so changed and it's so marked that it just becomes this fixation. So don't ever do it. Kids, don't do it. Don't mess with it. But there are people that are getting breakthrough even from that heinous, wicked chemical. God is good. Yes. See, that kid is saying amen over there. Well, God's calling us to walk in the Spirit, and there is a new birth. And the Bible says we're born from above, we're born of the Spirit. And we're Spirit taught, we're Spirit led. There is a being, a person called the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of God. That was only occasionally on the priests behind the veil in the temple in a very specific and random type of situation. Now, he doesn't dwell in temples made of hands. He lives inside people. And God wants to use each one of us to be led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. If you're not born again, then you're exempt and set aside from all this and you need to step over and receive Jesus as your Lord. If you are born again, shake off for unforgiveness. I've had a lot of people tell me they're addressing head on conflicts and hindrances are getting them out of the way. Methinks that we're going to see some harvest coming up. There's a cycle. of people. It's set up just like it was when I got saved. There was a Vietnam War. Now there's Iraq. There's not that they're the same, but that there's a war. Then there's also all kinds of shortages, the gas prices, conflicts. There's some tensions here and there, plagues and things like that, which all set up for people coming out of lethargy and out of the valley of decision and coming to know Jesus. The Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that doesn't just mean glibly saying the name of Jesus out of some sort of a, like a place of just a chant or something. It means you're making him the Lord of your life. You're surrendering to him and saying, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God who died and who rose from the dead. And I just want to say to you that that is the most essential and important move that a man or woman could ever make in life. And so I want to give you and extend this opportunity to you. He loves you so much. There's so much brokenness and heartache in the world. And Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to restore us back to fellowship with God. And he came to call us out of darkness and to walk in the light. And so he's inviting us to come in, but it's on the basis of a surrender and of a dedication and of a confession from the heart. So if you need to make that move, if you say, you know, I'm here today, I need to get right with God. I don't want to play any games with this. I don't want to be questioning it anymore. I don't want to be backing off from it. I want Jesus. I want it to be known in heaven. I want to know Jesus Christ as Lord. In the Old Testament, King Solomon said, God has set eternity in our hearts. And what does that mean? That means there's a void on the inside of us. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's where that void comes from, that empty part. Humanity tries to fill it with relationships, with fame, with career moves, with material things, with substance abuse, all kinds of different things, religions. But that's a Jesus-shaped puzzle piece that only he can fill. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father but through him. Jesus authentically came to this earth to destroy the work of the devil, to seek and save that which is lost. He was our great substitute. He said, look, I'll take your sin, everything that's separating you from a holy God, from my Father, and I will give you my right standing with God. I'll give you forgiveness. I'll give you righteousness as a gift. You can't earn it. It's by grace. So you say, what should I do? That's a great trade. I'm glad you asked. I want to lead you in a prayer to receive the free gift of righteousness. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you know everything about me. Even though I don't know everything about you, I believe in you. And with all my heart, God, I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, is indeed the Lord. And that through faith in him, I could have eternal life. God, please forgive me for all of my sins. I trust you. I know, Jesus, when you said it is finished on the cross, that the price was paid, that if I would receive you and confess you as my Lord and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, I would be saved, and that's what I want. So God, right now, I receive your forgiveness. I want to be your child. No more running, no more looking for it in the wrong places. Jesus, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I just want to encourage you that when you become a Christian, you become a new creation on the inside. And that's instantaneous. That's a brand new person. You've been born anew by the Spirit. But now there's something called follow through. And I want to encourage you on a couple of high points. There's a book called the Bible. Go to it and read it. Read the Psalms when you're discouraged. Read Proverbs when you need guidance. Read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John accounts of Jesus' life so you can experience him and come to understand his ways. Read the what they call the epistles, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, Romans and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Read the whole New Testament. Read the Bible. It will enrich your life in a phenomenal way. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. There's also this item called prayer. Prayer is communication with God.
It's engaging in interaction. It's not just a monologue. It's interacting with God from your heart to his heart. Now that you're saved, you can actually draw near to him and have access with him. And I want to encourage you to experience that constantly. Another place to be to bath to is a good fellowship. Find a good church. There are life-giving churches all over the place. Find one that lifts up Jesus, preaches the Bible, a place where it's healthy, where there's a vision for impacting the world, and go there and stay plugged in. Also, the great engaging thing to do is serve. The greatest in the kingdom is servant of all. Get involved with servanthood, and man, you'll just be refreshed as you volunteer and plug in and give the best you have for his purposes. Speaking of giving, learn to tithe and give offerings and give of your finances to the vision of that church you go to. God wants to bless you, and there's something powerful about being a giver. It breaks the stingy, greedy tendencies that we have, and it also honors God as we give of our finances, of our time, of our prayer, of our time to read the Word. I just want to encourage you, lastly, to also go tell somebody what's happened. That's called evangelism in the Bible. It's just really sharing good news, but just keep it real. And God bless you in your pursuit of Jesus and his perfect will for your life.